In the gym and in the car, with our advice you could go far. We fuck things up and we make mistakes, and talk about our sexy dates. We host events and go to clubs, but most of all we're still in love. It's getting hard for this to rhyme, just as well cause it's bed hopping time.
Hello and welcome to the Bedhoppers podcast. My name's Mr. H.
And I'm Mrs. H.
This is episode 180.
That's like a bullseye reference, right?
I think so.
180? Is that the bullseye?
I don't know. Who knows?
It's darts.
Not me. Is it darts?
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, we should dart through this episode, which is going to be a bit of a theme. Nicely segued there, Mr. H. Thank you. Congratulations. I can't even say it anymore. This is how excited I am about this particular episode.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's not that I'm excited about this particular episode. I'm just excited to record and spend time with Mrs. H.
You're just high on life.
I am high on life, but not anything else. But I do have a glass of wine.
Yay.
What are you drinking, Mrs.
H? Oh my God, we've got Gary Barlow's wine.
You're such a big star to me.
It is Gary Barlow's organic white wine.
It's
got a piano on the front.
Who cares? Who really gives a shit what we're drinking?
It's all right.
If you're really wondering, is take that wine okay? It's all right.
Well, it wasn't so much because of what we're drinking segment. It was more the fact that we're drinking Gary Barlow's wine.
It's made of genuine Gary Barlow. Anyway, so first things first, Spicy Island.
Yes.
You can still come to week 2 of Spicy Island with us. Grab your tickets. It's going to be amazing. Links in the show notes. We are so looking forward to it. And at some point, we are going to start making a concerted effort to be body fit and ready and
I've already started.
You've had a training session.
No. Wait, no, maybe 2.
Maybe 2, okay. All right then, so it begins.
It begins.
Which is fine. So come along with us. We think it's going to be fantastic. 600 people, it's in July. All details in the show notes, but
we're going to be naked.
Going to be naked. Are we going to be naked?
By the end of a song.
You're going to wind up naked by the end of this song.
We're definitely going to be naked at some point.
Yeah, I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point before then, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. But come along with us. That'll be great.
Yes.
We've been making some announcements in our Discords, but we can't tell you about those yet.
Oh my God, you little prick teaser.
I am. These are the things you could have won.
Well, you know, it might be events.
Well, there might be some events. There may be some announcements, some things that you could come along to if you feel so inclined.
Yeah,
but you can only see and hear about these wonderful things if you're members of our patron.
For now,
members of our patron, or as part of our sort of ongoing events Discord group.
Yes.
But if not, keep your eyes and ears peeled. Do you peel ears? I don't know. Maybe on potatoes.
I don't know.
But look out for more information very soon. But if you're a member of that group and you've not checked in for a while, jump on in, have a look, because there's information there that you may find appealing.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, that was another great link, Mr. H. Pat on the back to you.
So more outfits for me to buy them.
More outfits, definitely more outfits for you to buy. The other thing that I wanted to mention, so we went to the Social Club Social.
Oh, the S Social?
S Social? Yeah. SS? I'm not sure how it's pronounced.
Lots of S's.
Social. It wasn't anything to do with Harry Potter.
I would have been really down for that.
You probably would have been down for a bit of Harry Potter nonsense. However, it wasn't anything to do with that. It was at a secret location of which we're not going to reveal, but we went to their first social and it was really good fun. It was really nice.
How many people did you make out with, Mr. H?
None, probably.
Lies. You sit on a throne of lies.
Well,
you absolute snake.
So I think before, because we're not going to spend too much time talking about how that social went, primarily because I'll probably get told off about it.
I'm not going to tell you off.
No, maybe.
You
well, they may tell me off yet. However, I felt that looking back at the social, we made a slightly better attempt to mingle, but still didn't really do a particularly good job of mingling.
You mingled a bit. You did some mingling.
Some mingling. There was a little bit of mingling. We didn't really mingle as a duo, which I think we probably need to get better at and do that.
Yeah.
We hunt in pairs now. And I think we also kind of still stayed in our own little corner with people we knew a little bit.
A little bit, but we did venture out of a corner.
Yeah, we did a little bit, but I think there's more to do in that space. However, it was a nice time. We had a good time. It was fun. And Would we do it again? Yes, absolutely. And I'm sure we'll talk more about it in the future, but look out for their stuff. They're really good fun. And if you can get along to one of their events, go for it.
There are more.
Yeah. But if it comes down to choosing between one of their events and our events, come to ours. You know, we like them, but not that much. But, you know, if one of our events is not happening at the time when their events is running, then go along to theirs.
They might be coming to one of our events.
They may do. I don't know.
Never know.
They may never talk to me again after my slightly tipsy performance throughout the course of the evening.
Oh, okay. There it is.
Slightly
tipsy.
I was slightly more inebriated than I had intended to be.
You never intend to be fully inebriated.
No, one never intends to get that way. However, the thing was is that we went out for drinks beforehand.
There were
some amazing drinks, and I may have drunk too many of those drinks or too much of those drinks, and was probably a little bit more interactive and a little bit more woozy than I should have been. I wasn't ill or anything, and I don't think I made a complete twat of myself. However,
I'll never remember. You have no memory of it.
Well,
apparently.
I do have some memory of it.
Okay.
Just not all of it. Which is fine. And I'm sure I said some stuff I probably shouldn't have said to lots of people. But that, you know, it wouldn't be me if I didn't do that, right? Maybe.
Yes.
Anyway,
this is true.
The point is that we managed to do a little bit of mingling, not as much as we should have done. But we did some. And we'll have to work on that and go to another event and keep trying.
Keep mingling.
Keep mingling.
Yeah.
Be better.
Is that like with a keep on swimming?
Yes. Do better.
Just keep swimming.
Just keep mingling. Just keep mingling. Break those cliques down. Break those cliques down. Yes. All of that sort of stuff. So we're not going to dwell on that because we're really conscious that we've had a few heavy episodes lately of serious conversation. And quite frankly, my dear, there's only so much serious conversation that we can cope with over the course of time, right?
Well, we've got some heavy stuff coming up, though. We've got dates.
We do have some dates coming up.
But that's pretty heavy going.
And they may be heavy conversations. So
we'll save the heavy conversations till after that.
Yeah, so after this point, and we've got some interviews coming up and some other good stuff. However, I was like, we need to do something good. We need to do something fun.
Keep it light.
And I was on a work call the other day, and we were talking at work about AI and how you can use AI and what it means to you, artificial intelligence, all that sort of stuff. Less Jude Law, I was surprised to find out, than initially anticipated, and less Haley Joel Osment or whatever it was called. And even less Robin Williams. It's really difficult to get him to come out and act these days.
My understanding of AI is very limited to the hilarious moments where I'm superimposed into strange pictures.
Yeah, so visual AI is definitely something that you've...
That's the only introduction I've got to AI. I've not used any sort of AI technology. Is that the thing?
Technology.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm told it's a big thing.
It is a big thing. So I thought, what would be the perfect podcast episode? All those plosives going on there perfectly. Mm-hmm. Perfunctory plosives.
You mean if it was AI generated?
Well, I thought, what would be the perfect podcast episode about swinging?
Right.
So I asked AI. I was like, I'm going to be lazy. I don't even have to generate the content. And it came up with a fucking long list of some relatively sensible stuff.
Quite well written, I thought.
Well, I thought it was quite well written.
So I've got a question. This is a silly question. Who writes that stuff?
AI.
Yeah, I thought you'd say that. But who writes that stuff?
The sentient AI.
Oh, is it just like basically like a big internet?
Sort of. So
like a big melting pot of all the stuff that is on the internet all woven into one
thing.
Think
of it like a robot that you interact with, and that robot has access to all of the World Wide Web. Yeah. So if you were to ask that robot, I don't know, what is the best spaghetti recipe or whatever, that robot could troll all of that stuff and spit it back at you.
Oh.
But it also learns, and it can come up with fairly good but not great content back. And so you could say, I would like a story about an elf that machine guns Santa down on the,
oh my God,
the whatever it might be, right? And that
I'm sure that was made into a movie,
probably. And then it will go, blah, this is your story.
And
this is your
get that stuff. It just goes through all of this stuff.
It goes through all of the internet and searches stuff, but it also kind of uses like artificial learning and all that kind of crap to generate it. So it's like thinking through what it might be.
It sounds like Matrix.
A little bit, because it is artificial intelligence, and you know it's not human that's getting giving this information, and it does pretty quickly. Like you can get like this, your report or whatever, or your story about the elf chucked back at you pretty quickly. Okay. So right. I thought, you know, while I was doing this course or whatever and having a look at it or doing this session, but I'd chuck in, what is the perfect podcast episode about swinging? And it's come up with 10 different things or so that we should cover. And I thought, 10 different things, that's a lot to cover in one episode, but also challenge accepted. So what I thought we'll do is I'll read out what the thing was.
Right.
And then, in fact, if you want to read them out, because I sent them to you, you've got them on your phone, right?
Yeah. Maybe use my own fingers for this.
Use your own fingers, because I'm going to be in control of the timer, because we're going to give each one 3 minutes.
Right.
Of discussion point in an attempt to create the world's best swinging podcast episode ever.
Wow, okay.
Based on suggestions made from AI.
It's a tall order.
It's a tall order, and in 3 minutes for each one. And some of these topics are
that's
quite...
That's going to be quality, right?
Yeah, so this could be... We're not drinking after every 3 minutes, although that would be hilarious.
Man, really?
Yeah, it's probably not a good idea.
No, you're probably right, actually.
Especially Kane and Gary Barlow's wine. Probably not a great thing. But I thought we'd give it a go.
Give it a go.
And give it a go and then see how it goes. This could end in disaster. This could be awful content, or it might be funny along the way. So let's go with it. With that in mind, wife, do you want to read the first one?
I'm going to read it.
Go
for it. I'm going to read the AI generated thing.
Do it.
All right. Okay. So I would like you to give me in 3 minutes, or us in 3 minutes, an introduction to swinging. So an overview of what swinging is, its history, and how it has evolved over time. So different swinging styles, soft swap to full swap, etc.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Cool. Right, go. So swinging, modern swinging has evolved, I think, based on military exchanges in the States, where husbands would look after wives of people whose husbands had been deployed, and it's sort of that's the kind of modern wife swapping. Of course, there's a much greater history, and things like the pineapple have evolved from Hawaii, and turning pineapples upside down as a sign of welcome, yada 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 yada. So modern swinging, there's a whole bunch of approaches that fall broadly under the ethical non-monogamy umbrella.
All right.
Typically, swinging involves partner swapping with other people. For some sort of sexual contact. But most people, or lots of people, see it as a lifestyle, which is much more about the friendships and the attitudes generated, as well as the sexual interactions. Now, this can be full swap, soft swap, and full swap is when you actually have penetrative sex. Soft swap is when you typically go as far as oral with different partners. Also, when you encounter things like hot wifing, these also have umbrella terms like stag and vixen and humiliation and all that sort of stuff that goes with it.
Okay.
And that typically means that there is a guy that wants to see his wife or wants his wife to have adventures. And depending on the approach they take, it may get different names. Stag and vixen tends to be the non-humiliation one. Cuckoldry tends to be the one that does involve humiliation. But everyone has different definitions of all these things, and everyone will argue until the cows come home. So what would you say to that? What would you add?
So my understanding of swinging, I agree. I think it probably emerged as a concept in the 1950s with American military camps. And like you, my understanding is that it's very much evolved around the husband wanting people to take care of the wife while they're away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Developed through the swinging 60s, probably.
Yeah.
The invention of the pill probably had a significant impact on that, allowing women to be more promiscuous.
I reckon there's some great parties in the 70s as well.
Probably, yeah.
Or very retro. And then along the way, we've also got some very defined stereotypical associations like pampas grass and, as you say, the pineapple, and more recently, the black ring on the finger and some other sort of bits and pieces like that. So I think broadly, yes, you've got a whole gamut there of things.
And of course, it doesn't have to be couples. It can involve single guys.
Yeah.
And it can also involve single ladies, often called unicorns because it's difficult to find them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And typically, people go and do this either by themselves in sort of more intimate environments, or they can go to clubs. There's also social scenes where you can get to meet people but not actually play. And stop the clock. Boom, done, right?
All right, that's bang on 3 minutes.
Bang on 3 minutes. Well, that's because I stopped the clock at 3 minutes. So
History in 3 minutes.
And there we go. I'll read this one if you like.
Okay.
So this one is communication and boundaries. Emphasize the importance of open and honest communication between partners in swinging relationships. Discuss strategies for negotiating boundaries, addressing jealousy, and maintaining trust within the relationship. Go, wife, go.
Go, wife, go. All right. Well, I mean, we've said in the past, communication is absolutely critical if you're going to do anything that involves opening up your relationship. Without the communication, then you're destined for failure. So boundaries. We were very caught up, I think, with boundaries back in the day when we started this, because we wanted like a set of very rigid rules, I think, that kept our relationship safe.
Yeah.
And then over time they have evolved and relaxed, but I still think it's important to have that initial conversation with the partner that you're intending to open your relationship with and establish some ground rules, albeit if you want to call them boundaries or, you know, rules around what you do and don't want to do within that new sort of journey you're undertaking. In terms of strategies though, for negotiating those boundaries, I think there's a big piece around not getting too bent out of shape if things don't quite go to plan the first time. Don't hold it against each other, but at the same time, make sure you take the time to have a conversation about afterwards what went right, what didn't go right, how you may want to readdress those strategies and boundaries. And then in terms of jealousy and maintaining trust. Okay, again, I've said before, I don't think jealousy is an unwelcome emotion, because it's inevitable when you're going to be seeing a partner with somebody else that you're going to get a level of something that doesn't quite feel right in your mind, maybe. But it's not something that is necessarily a negative emotion, but it's something that you'd need to be cognizant of, and maybe how you can turn that into something positive.
I think some of the strategies that I've employed before have been much, much more about imagining myself in that situation and feeling how I might feel if that was to happen to me. And quite a good way of doing that is by looking at media, reading books, listening to podcasts, looking at films or whatever, and picturing yourself and your partner in those situations and having those discussions. What would we do if this happened to us? And some of it is that because you're never going to truly know when a moment of jealousy is going to hit you. You might be prepared for it. And as happened with you, Mrs. H., you know, yeah. It wasn't so much the me interacting with the other woman, but it was very much I'm giving her a cuddle. How dare I? Yeah. So, you know, we weren't prepared for that. But what we were prepared for was dealing with a situation where one of us wasn't feeling right. And it's about knowing what to do in that. Do you want to bring yourselves away from the situation and talk about it? Do you write it out and agree that there's going to be no comeuppance until you're away and you're able to talk about it properly? You've got to build your strategies that will help you get through that difficult period. And I think that's really, really important. I definitely found it easier, though, to kind of imagine all those different things that could go on. So I have a vague understanding of how I'm going to deal with it if it does crop up. And I think that is 3 minutes done, right?
Whoa.
Next one, dear. Next one. This is
crap without a drink, frankly. Okay, the next one then is around finding partners.
Okay.
So what sort of advice and tips for swingers looking to meet like-minded individuals or couples for swinging activities? What about the pros and the cons of different methods of finding partners, such as online platforms, your favourite topic, swinger clubs and social events? You might know a thing or two about social events.
I might know a thing or two about everything, dear. Well, I certainly have an opinion about it. So if you're in the UK, there's a whole host of different platforms that you can choose from that will help your swinging journey. And I think the biggest by far in the UK is fabswingers.com, which has been around forever. It probably has the biggest user base, but it also feels like you've gone back to 1992. It's full of fakes. It's full of difficult single men. It's full of couples who have no sense of understanding of their approach. However, it's where most people are. Now, that landscape is changing. There's a host of newer sites that are coming up and other sites coming in from other countries that are starting to shift that landscape. I'm not saying that Fab is going to be dead within the year, but it certainly seems to be much more opportunity to find other people on other platforms. I guess the next biggest one is probably Swing Hub, mm-hmm. Closely followed by Spicy Match, which are coming in from Europe. They've got a huge European base. And they're looking to do more in the UK. I think that's safe to say. Swing Hub's much more of a sort of swipe left, swipe right kind of approach to things and feels a bit more modern. Spicy Match has been around a bit before, it's tried and tested, probably somewhere in between the two sites, actually, I would say, for Spicy Match. There's also WeRX, formerly Killing Kittens, and that's another space that you can go on to find people. And of course, these are great for finding couples or partners to play with, but actually you can also go to clubs, so mm-hmm. going to swinging clubs, and there's a whole host all over the UK. The ones that we particularly like are Penthouse Playrooms, there's Vanilla Alternative, and there's Le Boudoir. I'd also say Swindon Swingers is an okay space as well. If you go in, it's a smaller venue, but actually worth seeking out. And there's a variety of, there's probably a club that's within an hour and a half to you. There's also social events, which are much more about networking. Think of it like a work networking event where the idea is to meet people, not to hook up, but to hook up later. Not necessarily that night, but to meet people and see if you've got a good connection. And then you can keep chatting to them after the event and hopefully build an even better and far naughtier connection. Mrs. H, anything to add to that?
All right, okay. I would say if you're really super nervous of the beginning of a journey, maybe socials are the initial first step that might ease you in without scaring you off, because there's no pressure to do anything. You're literally just having a nice drink with like-minded people. And that can be incredibly comforting that you're not under any pressure to do something that's going to make you feel uncomfortable. And then in terms of, you know, the sites, I'm not great with them because I don't like any of them. But I think that's genuinely because of the crass responses that you can come to expect sometimes on those things. But they are important. So, and I think you're now going to be coming up to your 3 minutes.
Well, you're just playing for an extra couple of seconds.
No, I'm not.
So the next one is about etiquette and consent.
Yes.
Educate listeners about swinger etiquette and the principles of enthusiastic consent. Discuss how to navigate consent in swinging situations, handle rejection gracefully, and respect others' boundaries and preferences. Go.
Wow, that's a lot. Okay. But this is a really, really important one. And I think consent has to underpin every interaction you have and undertake in an open relationship. You may think that consent is implied because you've been in a long-standing relationship with someone and you just don't think about the fact that you may have to ask for something as simple as a kiss. However, it can send us running for the hills if you don't ask and check that it's okay to even share a hug, or, you know, just share a social kiss. It can really be not well received. So I think consent should underpin everything you do. And if you're really going to do this right, then you should probably have an informed discussion, you know, with whoever your new play partners may be around consent. You know, do you have to check in with every single thing you do, or are you going to apply some level of blanket consent to a play situation if that's what you all agree on? In terms of etiquette, I would say hygiene is probably right at the top for me, you know, but I accept that that's not everyone's list. If you're going to be, you know, with somebody in an intimate way, then think about where those intimate parts are going to go and make it a pleasant experience for that partner. Etiquette in terms of hygiene is super important. Just think about that. Let's have a look. We've also got how to navigate consent in a situation. Okay, so let's assume that you've just gone straight into a situation and you haven't had that all-important conversation about consent. And then what happens if someone does do something that you didn't like? You tell them, or you should stop that interaction or find a discreet way of taking yourself out of that situation. I think
that's really important. One of the things that I do want to mention, though, is it comes back to just asking, and it's so critical that you ask for consent. But it's also really important to ask and be prepared to be rejected, because sometimes people are going to say no. But we prefer to try and celebrate the no's, because actually that means you're free to go on and find somebody else who is interested in you.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we've talked about a lot is around, you miss, and this is a no fear shot, I'm sure, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So it's, why not ask? You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain from asking someone if they are interested, if they would like to take things further, or if they'd like you to do something, if that's what you're looking to do. And, you know, if they say no, you've not really lost anything, because if you don't ask them, then it'd still be a no anyway.
I think I've heard many times that consent is sexy.
It is. Consent is a real sexy thing.
And actually, it's really sexy to hear someone ask you, Can I kiss you?
Can I rim you?
No, Mr. H, no.
Okay, not right now.
Can I kiss you? It can be an incredibly charged sentence.
Perfect. Okay, wife.
Thank you.
Do you want to read the next one?
I do. Ooh. Right. The next one then is safe sex and sexual health. There's a lot of S's in this one. Safe sex and sexual health.
All right then.
Okay. So the importance of practicing safe sex and prioritizing sexual health in swinging encounters. So what information can you give us in 3 minutes around STI prevention, testing, how to have conversations with sexual health with potential partners?
Well, I think safe sex is absolutely critical to the lifestyle. But what you have to realize is that sort of partner swapping, swinging, all this ethical non-monogamy stuff does come with risk. And the way in which you mitigate that risk is by using protection, for example, unless you're fluid bonded with someone. So by protection, typically that means condoms. Now, for the vast...
A barrier.
Mm. Yeah. Female condoms could be the case, or it could be male condoms. You could use a dam if you wanted to, but we're yet to really see one in use. And we find that actually people don't tend to use protection for oral.
No.
Not massively. Some people do, but it's relatively rare. But most people will use condoms for penetrative sex. And that's really important. It's not just about prevention of pregnancy. It's about prevention of spreading of STIs. Or STDs, or whichever way around we're calling them these days. Now, I think one of the ways you also combat this is actually by getting regular tests. So we like to get tested every 6 months or so and actually check, have a full screening to see what we may have picked up. And obviously, you know, we're hoping that our colleagues and our interactions are doing...
Our colleagues
in the swinging world.
Corporate.
I know, very corporate, isn't it? Our friends in the swinging world are doing the same thing. And one of the big questions that we ask often of new partners is, you know, when was the last time you were tested? Mm. What were you tested for? And it's a really good space to be in because you're just assuring your safety and ensuring the safety of your partner and your partners that you're going to play with in the future. So STI testing is a really, really critical thing, as is getting used to protection. And one of the things that I'll say quite a lot is that guys sometimes struggle when it comes to condom usage because they just haven't used them with their partners for God knows how long. So I say, have a posh wank, it saves lives, and get used to the feeling of a condom.
It saves the carpet.
It saves the carpet, right. Mrs. H, what do you want to add to that?
I like the point you're making about condoms, and I think something else that you could probably do with your partner is have sex with a condom. Not just a posh wank. Yeah.
I mean, you could do that.
Yeah, but get used to it.
Yeah, why not? You know,
get used to the nerves of like trying to get a Johnny on while you're trying to maintain erection and keep someone happy.
I think I've gone all the way to the other side now where I get too excited because I'm putting a condom on and it means I'm having sex.
It's a condom.
Yay, it means we're going to do sex. Woo!
The only other thing I would say, I think, is around... be prepared maybe to share those kind of... STI results with people if they ask for it, because I think that's really, really important that you can be open and honest about someone that you're potentially going to be, getting naked with, and the last thing you want is something unwanted. And so, yes. Is there anything else in there that I think I should have covered?
In the next 3.5 seconds?
No.
Probably not. So no. Let's Yay. Go with the next one. This is about managing emotions. Address the emotional aspects of swinging, including jealousy, insecurity, and compersion. That's feeling happy for your partner's pleasure. Offer strategies for managing emotions, communicating effectively with partners, and fostering emotional intimacy.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah. Go on then.
Is this me?
Go.
Hit the timer. Okay. It's a big one, isn't it? Managing emotions.
I've heard that before.
Well, emotions happen to us all. Even if we think we're not going to get jealous about something or emotional about something, then it can just appear at the most random of moments, as you alluded to earlier when I got emotionally jealous over a cuddle.
Yeah.
But I was quite happy to watch you plowing away.
Plowing away.
Plowing away.
I love how you've described the art form of which I performed there into just a basic maneuver.
It's an interesting juxtaposition, I think, there between being turned on by watching a sexual act, but also navigating the emotional output that comes with that is harder, I think, in some ways than watching the sexual act take place.
I think as swingers and people within that lifestyle, you kind of learn that that actually the physical acts can be separated from emotional ones for the most part. But actually, you don't know when the emotional beats are going to hit you. And that is often, certainly we've found in those moments where it's not been about the sex necessarily. It's about that sort of intimacy. The other thing that crops up quite a lot is jealousy and insecurity around body shape and body type and performance. And that's something that we've talked about a lot. And, you know, we try and put out the best version of us that we can or that we're able to do with the small amount of time that we have for life. But there are always going to be moments where you don't feel like you are the best you.
And the difficulty is if you're watching your partner with someone new and they have a much better body than you in some way. It could be that they've got larger breasts or, you know, they're slimmer or there's something about them you think you feel envy around because you want to be like that and you wish you were. And if only I was like that, then, you know, now my partner's having sex with them, so they must find that more attractive. That can be, you know, incredibly emotionally difficult to navigate. And that can turn a very sexual situation that you are looking forward to into something that you just want to run and hide from.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really worth thinking about as well. But in terms of the good emotions that come with that, you know, we don't maybe talk about those enough, and there's plenty of them. Otherwise we wouldn't keep going back and doing what we do, you know, and it's incredibly fulfilling to then reconnect with each other afterwards. And that's the emotion that I think is the good, happy endorphin emotion when you're like, oh, you're back together and you're remembering what you did together the, you know, previous night, maybe.
I love the endorphins. I think there's also something to be said for the emotions that you have for your partners. And, you know, whilst we're not sort of, we often try to avoid falling in love with people, we sometimes do end up loving
them. A little bit.
And that's not a bad thing. All right, then. Next one, wife. Next one.
Okay.
Am I reading this one? I think it's my go.
No,
it's you.
No, it's me. Because right. I was speaking and then you randomly segued into my bit.
Okay, all
right. It's my turn.
Well, you're not reading the whole thing.
Right, so the next one, Mr. H, is swinging events and parties. Now, you know nothing about this.
Nothing, tra-la-la.
So what different types of swinging events and parties are available to swingers, from intimate gatherings to larger scale club nights? What might people expect at these events, and how would you navigate the social dynamics and basically have a positive experience?
Well, I think we've recorded a number of podcasts talking about some of this stuff. Yeah, and in fact, you know, navigating those social experiences is something that we've been struggling with on a recent basis. So I think, there's a whole range of different parties that you can go to. And we've touched on this slightly earlier, but there are club events, there's private parties, there's hotel takeovers, there's longer events, there's resorts, there are social events. There's a whole range. There's intimate catch-ups with people. All of this stuff like can exist in there. I think the difficult bit that we've found to navigate is that we are very comfortable with each other, like incredibly comfortable with each other.
And it's a nice thing you said to me all day.
Is it? I've said many things to you today. And when we go to events, and it doesn't matter whether it's a social or whether it's a club or play event, we tend to stick to ourselves. And I think it's really important to understand as you go to these things, like, what is your game plan? What do you want to achieve? What is your vision? Oh, this sounds businessy, doesn't it now?
Corporate colleagues.
A little bit back to our corporate colleagues. But what do you want to achieve from that event? Is it that you want to mingle with lots of people and talk to different couples? Is it that you want to find someone to hook up with? Is it that you, what is your play dynamic? All this stuff that you want to achieve, that it's really important to have that in your head so that when you go there, that you try and follow that as much as you can. Because what we found is we've gone to places without having had this chat and having this lockdown. And what we've done is sat in the corner and just chatted to ourselves like Beavis and Butthead, which is pretty cool. But it does mean that we've not integrated ourselves with the wider amount of crowd. And I think, you know, it's because we're so comfortable in our company, I think we're quite happy to do that. But when you look at it from the experience of going to an event, having paid, having traveled, having got there, got dressed up, all this stuff, you don't want to waste that time. And as I said before, you miss 100% of the shots you don't shoot.
All right, no fear.
Yeah, no fear. 1992. So I think it's like it's about how you apply yourself and how you make the most of those things. And I think, you know, it might look like there are lots of little cliques and stuff, but until you speak to people, you don't know if this is the first time they've ever met each other. Are they regulars? And in actual fact, a lot of the time, people just want to welcome new people into the circle of trust, right?
What I will say is there's a common misconception, I think, that people still make, that our life as swingers is one continuous bacillion orgy, you know, wandering around constantly having sex with large groups of people. And it's really not. You know, it's fun when those things do happen. Thanks, Gary Barlow. But it's not necessarily one great big Roman orgy.
Wait, Gary Barlow was at a Roman orgy?
Do you know what? I actually wouldn't want Gary Barlow at my orgy.
Really?
No, I don't rate him at all.
Okay, I think he's quite a talented songwriter.
You fancy him?
No, not like that.
Right, well, he's out of my orgy then.
All right, next question. He's out of your orgy. So now we're going to talk about legal and ethical considerations.
Ooh, okay, touch deep on, stuff.
Touch on legal and ethical considerations relevant to swinging, such as privacy concerns, consent laws, and the importance of respecting others' privacy and confidentiality.
Oh, this is me, isn't it?
It right. is. Go.
Oh, got loads on shit on this one. Right. This is a big deal, all right? In a world where people can sue anybody for anything, including, I don't know, spilling a hot cup of coffee because it's too hot, like the world's gone a bit crazy. And this is no different. People can sue you and things can happen that get wildly out of control in legal perspectives before you know it. So I think what I want to point out here is don't share something if you're not abundantly clear that that is at some point going to end up out there and it will stay out there forever. So number one of my privacy concerns is be careful who you're sending pictures to, for one.
Yeah.
And don't be sending, dick and taco pics if that's not been explicitly asked for by the recipient that you're conversing with.
Is so important.
It's just madness. Like every message we get, pretty much, every crappy message we get, genuinely has some random dick pic in it.
Do you know, why? I don't think I've ever been asked for a dick pic.
Do you want me to ask you for one?
No, I don't, I don't know, either says a lot about the expectation of my penis or says a lot about people's interest in dick pics.
A successfully tried litigation case for the first actual case of cyberbullying.
In the UK, right?
In the UK.
Yeah.
Right, it's successfully gone to court and someone has been, you know, found guilty of cyberbullying.
Yep.
So I'm just saying it's incredibly important to respect the boundaries and the consent of who you're conversing with. So don't be sending dick pics and taco pics if it's not asked for. So that's number one. And then in terms of respecting each other's privacy and confidentiality, of course, you just need to be very mindful of what you're sharing with other parties if it's not been expressly given permission that you can discuss that or do that or share that. So yeah, it's a huge issue to get yourself like embroiled in if you're not really careful about things. Not to mention things like workplaces, and I think we're going to come on to workplaces in a bit, so I won't go too much into that. But ethically and legally, you just need to be so careful of all the data laws and the data privacy laws. And bear in mind, people can now request DSARs for everything if they want to. They can interrogate messages, written, voice messages. It's all out there.
I think the other thing to consider is that in some countries, swinging is illegal.
Yeah.
So I don't think it is in the UK. If not, we've been breaking the law quite a bit. But I know that for, I think, many of the Asian countries that actually swinging is illegal. So it's important to check the local laws and regulations before you kind of go and explore this stuff and understand what, because some, you can actually go to prison for taking part in an orgy, which is quite frightening.
Gary Barlow, you're out.
Gary Barlow, you're out. All right, this is the way it goes. So am I reading this one? Yes.
No,
it's you reading this one.
It's me.
Okay, all right.
Because you asked me the last one.
All right.
Right. This is a good one. I like AI for this. Well done, AI.
Okay, good AI.
Lifestyle integration. So how can you integrate swinging into everyday life? So I guess in our mind, how do we normalize that? Including balancing swinging with work, don't swing at work, with family and social commitments. Give some advice for maintaining discretion and managing boundaries between swinging and personal life.
Well, I guess the first thing that I'd say is not to go on television, because then those boundaries blur pretty quickly. And I think that's what we found. For some people, that line between work and personal life and their extracurricular swinging activities is it's a spicy one. Mm. And they enjoy the secrecy in having an adventure together. Mm. And I totally respect that. I get that. And we've felt that before. Mm-hmm. But I think after a while, the spiciness and the naughtiness of, oh, we're doing this naughty thing, kind of dies down a little bit, right? And then at that point, it becomes like something, or for us, it became something that we wanted to talk to people about. And then we did the podcast, and then we were like, now we want to normalize this a little bit. And that's tricky, because some people never want this to be normalized because they like the saucy line. And other people want to be able to be free to do whatever it is they want to do. Can have a party, get loaded, and all the other primal screen things, or whatever it was. And they want to be able to live their life as openly and have those conversations as openly as possible. So it's a tricky balance, I think. For me, I want everyone to have the opportunity to be able to talk about this stuff as freely as they want to. And in the same way that most people don't tend to talk to their parents about their sex lives, it's the same with this. You don't necessarily tell your work colleagues about your sex life.
Not
normally. But if you wanted to, or you've got that relationship, I would like to be able to do that without being persecuted. And I think the other thing to consider is actually with work, and certainly a lot of people's works, if it was to get out that they are swingers, it would actually be like career suicide. And they would lose their jobs. I know lots of people have, certainly in foreign countries, have moral contracts in place that say they're not allowed to do anything or post anything online. And when you see that, like, swinging is often people, we've seen an increase of people doing things like OnlyFans as a side job. If that gets out into the public, then absolutely they are going to take a bit of a flogging from their workplace when that shows up. So I think that there's a lot to kind of consider into this. But what we found is actually there are ways to integrate it. And some of the people that we've met through our swinging adventures have gone on to become our best friends in the whole world. And people that we've met, their families, we spent time with their children, we spent time with their families. And when everyone knows and that is on the table, at least in a kind of, even if it's a light touch way, those relationships become so much deeper and you value those thoughts. Anything you want to chuck in?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting about it. People can feel really nervous about revealing this clandestine side of their life because of a fear of things like moral clauses and contracts and workplaces and that sort of thing. But actually, once your secret's out there, it's not gossip anymore, because there's nothing to gossip about. And this, there you go, normalising.
There we go. All in 3 minutes.
In 3 minutes.
Just about, yeah. Right, the next one, Mrs. H. So that's community support and resources. Highlight resources available to swingers, such as online forums, podcasts, like this one, educational websites. Discuss the importance of community support and finding a supportive network of friends within the swinging community.
Go! I like to think that AI pretty much wrote this to expand your ego. Well, we know a thing or two about this, surely. So, yes, podcasts are a terrific way and very convenient way of immediately absorbing many different opinions about the subjects. Great. I don't listen to them, as you know.
Yep.
And
not even this one.
However, I do understand that they are a great way of finding, you know, lots of different perspectives on a subject. And I think they're probably incredibly helpful if you just want to hear about someone else's perspective. And it's always reassuring to hear that someone else has done something that you've then gone, oh my God, that's that thing that I was worrying about. And now someone's spoken about it and they've lived to tell the tale. Great stuff. So podcasts, really, really helpful. There are lots of forums and there's plenty on Fab, I want to say, which are a dangerous place to be. But, you know, they exist for a purpose, which is people like to share an opinion about something that they've seen or read It is actually quite a good way of just, again, absorbing some different perspectives on something. And it's quite reassuring to have a conversation with like-minded people, which is why we like to do the podcast because I think, again, not only in so much of normalizing things, but it's really, really helpful to give people some reassurance that it's okay to make some mistakes and it's okay if things don't go right. So community support is super important to us though. And I think one of the greatest bonuses that's come out of all of this is the unexpected, brilliant, positive side of making so many amazing acquaintances. And I say acquaintances because not all of them turn out to be like, yay, friends for life. But also I think there's a ton of people out there who would actually help us out in a heartbeat. And I'm super grateful for the outpouring of support that we always get from our community and the people that we've brought together, because they all pretty much are aligned to what we're trying to achieve here. So that's really important to us as well. And then the friends. Oh my God. We've said this on live TV because it was really important that the friendship was the biggest bonus of all of this. I didn't think we'd make friends for life in this, but we have.
We have. And I think that's so important. In terms of resources, I've got 20 seconds left. So I would say there's TV shows out there. Obviously, there's podcasts.
Oh, yeah, there's TV shows.
There's events. And actually, events can be a really valuable resource because, particularly with social events, you can go there and chat to people and ask questions. Now, if you go to an event, you'll be sort of made a member of a chat community. Sometimes that's a Discord thing. Sometimes that's Telegram, whatever. Use the resources that are given to you and use that community, because actually, all of these people have had experience of some sort, and it's actually a brain trust that you can delve into to find out more about your lifestyle journey or ask these questions.
And not just lifestyle, there's, you know, people out there who will talk about all sorts of different topics that you kind of think, I wish I could talk about this to somebody, but it strays too far into the, oh, people will judge me because I have sex with other people territory, like, I don't know, HRT, menopause, yeah, you know, health and fitness and all the stuff that you just kind of want to relate in some way to what you do as your extracurricular hobby, but it has a different spin on it.
Absolutely.
And that's really hive of information.
So there ended the thing. And it gave us one final sentence, right? So I'm going to read this.
By
covering these topics and addressing the interests and concerns of swingers, your podcast can provide valuable information, support and entertainment to listeners exploring already immersed in the swinging lifestyle.
Oh,
boom, wow. Nailed it. This is the best podcast for swinging ever. Done it.
According to AI. According to the Matrix.
Yes. And if only it could edit this to a decent standard, and then we wouldn't even need to do it. Maybe I'll just record our voices and I'll just type up the next episode.
So from here on in, are you just going to plug it all into the Matrix and ask it to spit out some like random shit?
No. I think, you know, this has been fun as an experiment, and I'm sure each of those things could have provided a full episode of content, but that we've covered time and time again. But I thought it would be really fun to just try and cover them all in one episode and thus make the greatest swinging podcast in the world, Evs.
Sounds like tribute.
Well, maybe. But actually, I think the best one is...
This isn't the greatest podcast in the world.
No.
It's just a tribute.
Yeah. We just played the first podcast that came in our heads and it just so happened to be. Yeah, there we go. We're clearly having a blast. Well, hopefully that was entertaining, if not valuable, useful, insightful information, or probably stuff that you've heard a lot of times before. And you're thinking, just get back to that sexy story that they were telling. And who knows whether we'll get back to it or not.
That one
that we had so many wonderful feedback.
We did have some feedback.
We did. People liked the story. They actually enjoyed the story, but they enjoyed you reading it more probably. So, you know, it's all about the words I put
into your mouth. Will I have another chapter to read?
At one point there may be.
A story is taking shape.
Yes, the story. I have been working on the story. I have been writing, but it's been a busy week, right?
Like, what are those corridor reprobates up to next?
Oh, who knows?
I wonder.
Who did they even feature again? We'll never know. Anyway, so things to look out for. So the Spicy Island, look out for your tickets. Check our links for that.
Keep your eyes peeled for upcoming events that we might be announcing at some point.
Yes, keep your eyes open and search the skies. I don't know why the skies. Probably the internet actually is probably better. Maybe like search like Fab and Twitter or X and Insta and other places. But if you're a member of one of our Discords or patrons, look out for that because we've posted some information there and you already know. Wink, wink. There we go. Right, Mrs. H, do your thing.
Well, thank you for hopping into our bed.
So, due to overwhelming popular demand.
Not underwhelming.
Well, I think anyone that listened to it may have been whelmed.
I am thoroughly whelmed.
I'm thoroughly whelmed. And through you sort of telling me that these people that are in this story are definitely me and somebody else, right?
These infidelious reprobates, yes. These shameful corridor shenanigan bareback encounters.
Well, anyway, yes. So you might remember that last time round we did a bit of a sexy story that I'd written, and Mrs. H read it out. So we thought we'd do another chapter because people actually wanted to hear it. Whether they want my amazing story techniques or they want to hear your sexy voice saying sexy things.
Your true confessions, basically. Really happened in your head. To bring it to life.
It's about as realistic as baby reindeer.
Sent from my iPhone.
Exactly. Sent from my iPhone. So we thought we'd get Mrs. H to read another bit. Do you want to do that?
Yeah. All right then.
Go on then. So you've read this in advance, but only slightly. You were shooketh.
Shooketh at the illicit bareback liaisons that were occurring in this corridor.
Okay, so this is a continuation.
Oh God.
Of this is like second chapter, right?
How many more chapters do you have in you?
I don't know.
What else happened in that night, Mr. H?
I don't know. I may have to retire it after three or four, this particular, you know, miniature story. But we'll see. But yeah, go for it, Mrs. H.
Oh, good Lord. Are you sitting comfortably?
Very uncomfortably.
Then I shall begin. The other room. She gently pulled down her sheet and stepped onto the floor. Picking up the phone, she held her hand over the screen to prevent the light from spilling across the room. She began to message the man who had caught her attention earlier in the evening. Her partner felt her leave the bed. He kept his eyes closed and feigned his sleep. He could hear the gentle taps to her phone, the soft vibrations of messages being sent and received. He heard her footsteps on the carpet as she made her way towards the door. The latch, the pull, the not quite closed. Where was she heading? What was she doing? He opened his eyes and allowed them a moment to adjust to the lack of light. He could see that the door had been almost closed. A gap remained, offering a slither of darkness to the outside world. He heard muffled sounds coming from beyond the door. Was that movement? A whisper? His curiosity aroused, he found himself pacing his feet on the floor and standing naked in the cool air. Silently approaching the door, he paused to see if he could still hear the sounds he had heard before. There it was again. Was that her? Why was she whispering? His first thought was to pull the door open, walk out and see what was going on. But something held him back. A moment, an opportunity to see what she was doing and to see who she was talking to. He moved his face closer to the gap and peered into the darkness. What he saw took his breath away. Partner and the man from earlier in the evening, his woman, the one he'd known for a decade, the quiet one, the shy and retiring one, the one who never made the first move. It was her pulling the man's face to her most intimate parts, pulling herself towards him. He knew signs she was about to come. A thousand emotions flashed across his mind. Of course, they'd played with others before, and they'd experienced pleasures in the early hours of the morning, exploring other men, women, couples, but always together, always by each other's side, and this was something quite different, something new. What truly surprised him was that he did not move. He stayed on his side of the door, and he watched the man bring her to climax. As he continued to explore this illicit scene, he found that he was becoming more and more turned on by what he saw. Their actions were not permitted, and the thrill of watching them, silently observing, sent his mind racing and his hands wandering. Reaching for his cock, he was shocked to find that he was already hard. The voyeuristic nature of the experience thrilled him, and her flagrant disregard for their rules added a level of eroticism that he had not expected. He began to stroke himself. She was taking charge of the man outside. She was taking what she wanted. He bathed in her desire and her power to take what she wanted. Watching her push the man to the floor, he continued to pleasure himself. Taking long, slow strokes, he could feel the excitement building inside him. He was not prepared for what he saw next. As she slid herself on top of this man, it took a moment for him to realise that there was no protection, there was no condom, and his partner was riding this man in a public space, their skin, their most intimate parts, their passion together with no barrier. She'd given in to everything she wanted, everything she had desired, her most base of instincts, and it made him want her even more. It was more than enough. He couldn't stop now, even if he wanted to. He moved his free hand over his mouth to stifle his breathing, his moan, and his other hand stroking the entire length of his cock faster and faster. Finally, he came. Continued to watch them with each spasm matching the waves of their performance on the floor. He felt the hot liquid in his hand, but still he stroked himself, basking in the eroticism of these lovers, giving in to their desire. He saw further movement in the corridor. Something had changed, but what had he missed?
Oh, there we go. There we go. So, yeah.
These two are shocking. They honestly should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, you know, we'll see what happens in the next one.
What is happening?
Oh, well, who knows?
You know.
I do know what happens, but I just need to write it
I
now.
I wonder why.
Why? I need some inspiration.
You've already got plenty, I think. Enjoyed that.